Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was worth every penny, was it not? Worth every second you invested. Worth what took a long time to play out. All of the heart palpitations if you were a Seahawks or Niners fan. But if you weren't, I feel like you could enjoy it more. That was one heck of a Monday night game. And while I probably could get lambasted for saying this, I believe that was closer to the game of a century than what we saw in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. Now, Tuscaloosa was good. Not saying it wasn't. But man, Seahawks, Niners lived up to the expectations, at least for me. I hope it did for you as well. Here's one thing I know after watching this game. Defense is sexy, baby. Oh, now see, I sound like Jimmy Garoppolo. Although, they're not undefeated anymore. So he can't say it feels real good, baby. Because it probably doesn't feel real good on this Monday night. There are some pretty incredible things to take away from this game in the NFC West. But big picture, tree topping, before we get into the details. The Seahawks are 5-0 on the road this season. Woo, I like that quality of being battle-tested. Being not impervious to pressure, but being a team that thrives under pressure. I like the idea that the Seahawks have won so many close games. Do you know that 8 of the Seahawks' 10 games have been decided by one score or less? It's kind of funny. People will say that. You can't have less than one score, but you get my drift. I guess I could say 7 points or fewer. A lot of that is due to Russell Wilson. A lot of that is due to Pete Carroll and his coaching. A lot of it's due to the veterans they have on the defensive side, like Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, Shaquille Griffin. It's not the same team that went to a couple of Super Bowls. I guess it would have been five, six years ago. But the guys that are still there, and there are 4 of them, they absolutely have bridged the gap to this new era of Seahawks football. And Pete Carroll, last year I thought he deserved Coach of the Year for the masterful job he did in easing the transition. There was so much turnover and so much transition. There were guys holding out. There were guys unhappy. And yet still, they managed to figure it out, make the playoffs. And now here are these Seahawks, 8-2, with 3 consecutive wins, only a half game back of the Niners atop the NFC West. They hand San Francisco its first loss of the year. And in close games, in hostile environments, the Seahawks soar. And as much as the defense didn't have the stats or the numbers to back it up, we saw some pretty amazing plays from both defenses. But definitely Seattle rising to the occasion on that side of the ball as well. This is after giving up way too many points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's one example because that was the most recent game. Also went into overtime. But how about giving up 28 points to the Cleveland Browns? Giving up 29 points to the Los Angeles Rams, who can't seem to score for the life of them now. This is a team that has found ways to win when it had to, but this game is one for the ages. I hope it brings back Seattle and San Francisco and those rivalries we saw that culminated in three straight NFC championship games. Again, not that far back this decade. I hope you enjoyed it. What did you think? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our second show of the work week. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Of course, I was tweeting during the game. Sometimes, though, I got caught up in mouth agape, jaw dropped open. And the game had so many twists and turns. I mean, the tweeting almost became, I wouldn't say irrelevant, but not nearly as important as it just soaking it all in. But on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. And even as we tie a bow on Monday, both Monday Night Football and just the day Monday, I know a lot of people are already feeling the Arctic blast. It's about to encompass most of the rest of the country in the next couple of days. So we're preparing for our first blast of winter. I saw this stat over the weekend. 170 cities in the United States could set new lows in temperature for this time of the year with this Arctic blast. It's like marching across the United States, marching south through the United States. Anyway, that's on the horizon, as well as I just want to say one more time, thank you to our veterans for your services and your sacrifice for our great nation. And I loved seeing your pictures. So I did my absolute best, and I know producer Chris did as well, to go through and to retweet all of your service photos, whether it was you, whether it was a family, a loved one, your platoon, the people you served with, anybody you wanted to honor. We retweeted all those pictures, and on Facebook, I went through every single one of them. I read everything that you wrote, and it really means a lot to me that you shared those photos with me, especially the older ones of your grandmother, your grandfather, your uncle, your brother. Just really appreciated that you shared those photos with me and with our listening audience on Veterans Day. So thank you so much for that. And again, thank you for your service. I don't know if you guys if you follow John McClain, who's the great NFL insider for the Houston Chronicle. He's been on the show a bunch. But he had this pretty cool story that he tweeted. It was a short story, so I'll tell it really quick before we get into Sunday Night Football. He said that he was at a practice once. Let me see if I can find it real quick. So I want to read it just because it was easy. But he was at a football practice once. Gosh, where is it? Goodness, he was tweeting a lot. No, I'm going to find it. This is such great radio. Meanwhile, I forgot how much he tweets. Okay, I have to find it. Now it's even like embarrassing that I can't find it. It was probably like early in the morning and I just happened to see it late. Anyway, okay, I'll find it. But it was a really cool story where he, I don't even want to say it. Because it was better from him. Okay, I'll find it, but I can't scroll down and look at Twitter while I'm supposed to be talking to you about football. Okay, that was an epic fail, but not as big a fail as probably something that I'll do later on this week. So, you know, you can just forgive me. So on Twitter or on Facebook, and then on also our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It was pretty evident early on that we were going to see a defensive blueprint, really an umbrella in this game. Even the early interception by Shaquille Griffin that was negated by defensive holding against the Seahawks. That was the very first drive of the game, and right away you could tell defense was going to leave a mark. San Francisco goes up 10-0. And it was kind of that idea that it was enough for the Niners to get those 10 points. even with Russell Wilson and everything he's done this season, that it was enough for the Niners because of how their defense has played. And it definitely was tough sledding early on for the Seahawks. But we talk about this. I talk about this all the time because this is something that I'm constantly looking for in sports. Points off turnovers. Opportunities created by your opponent's mistakes. And the points off turnovers not only allowed the Seahawks to get back in this game, but allowed them to score 21 unanswered points. So after just 89 total yards in the first half, that's it. That's all the Seahawks had managed, 89 total yards. They still were only trailing by 3 points. And the Niners kept giving them opportunities. And the third quarter just turned nutty. There's a Jimmy Garoppolo interception and then a fumble forced by Jadeveon Clowney. He was a major wrecking ball in this game. Both of those turnovers lead to Seattle touchdowns. And then you're talking about 21 unanswered points and all the points for Seattle coming off turnovers. However, it was maybe just starting to get good then. So that 11-point lead dissipated very quickly.
Wilson under center, Carson in the backfield. Three on the line for San Francisco. Receiver motion, snap, spin, fake handoff, blocked by Carson. Here comes Warner. They got him back at the 25. The ball loose. It's picked up on the play by Buckner from the 5. Down the near sideline. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Kevin Harlan with the call on the Westwood One radio network. So right after the Seahawks are able to turn 2 Jimmy G turnovers into touchdowns in the third quarter, then it's actually a double fumble. It was Russell Wilson, and then it was picked up by one of his offensive linemen, and then it was fumbled again. And DeForest Buckner picks it up and gets into the touchdown plus the 2-point conversion. And then we get that back and forth of the field goal drives to push the game into overtime. And by now you've heard the story of Chase McLaughlin, brand new to the team because of Robbie Gould's injury. In fact, their snapper as well was new. But at 1 second left in the fourth quarter, Chase hits a 47-yarder and they go into overtime. I mean, just overtime alone had the kind of drama that I love. Although there was this pit in my stomach. No way. This can't actually be a tie. We can't have a game this good end in a tie. And it was just an overtime full of twists and turns, similar to the game, almost a microcosm of what we saw in those four quarters. The first drive of overtime, Russell Wilson throws an interception in the red zone. Just his second of the year. But what do we get? We get a shanked field goal from the same guy, from the same distance, who just hit a 47-yarder to send it into overtime. It's why I appreciate the human element in sports, because we are so imperfect, because sometimes we succeed and sometimes we stink, because sometimes we come through and sometimes we choke. Whether it's sports or whether it's life, it just keeps everything interesting. Poor kid, though. And I actually don't know how old he is, so I don't know if he's a kid or not. But poor guy. I felt bad for him. But there will be more missed field goals, for sure, if he sticks with this NFL career. But there will also be great makes as well. So then there are back-to-back 3-and-outs. And again, I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. We are not, absolutely not, going to have a tie finish to this game. But here's where San Francisco, in addition to the turnovers, where the Niners make another critical error. Certainly if these passes are complete, we're not having this conversation. But they weren't. The Niners take just 25 seconds off the clock with 3 straight incompletions. They don't try running the ball. Now, they hadn't had a lot of success running the ball. But 3 straight incompletions. There were a lot of drops in this game from Garoppolo's receivers. No George Kittle. Emmanuel Sanders was out for a while. But because they only take 25 seconds off the clock, the ball goes back to Russell Wilson with just inside of 90 seconds to go. Now, Wilson had had a couple of mistakes of his own. He'd had a couple of turnovers. It wasn't a game that's going to fill up the stat sheet or be incredible in fantasy football. But again, one reason why Seattle is so good in close games is because he thrives in these situations.
Look like they might blitz. They do blitz. Russ has to get the ball out of his hands. No, he's got running room. 45, midfield, first down, slides down, is run into from behind after he's on the ground, but he's across the 40-yard line. Huge opening on the right side for Russell Wilson, and he picks up 20 and a first down. Michael Dixon puts it down. That kick is away, and that kick is good! The Seahawks win! It's good! From 42, the Seahawks in overtime win for the second time in 2 weeks, and they beat the undefeated, now once defeated, San Francisco 49ers.
Steve Rabel with the calls on the Seahawks radio network. Now once defeated. It was a wild swing in overtime. Back and forth, back and forth. Can't even call it a pendulum because the pendulum takes a long time. This was quick, hard-hitting. And for the Niners, punch to the gut. But it was that way for the Seahawks, too. Both teams multiple times believing that they had done enough to win this game. And it didn't happen until the very end. So good stuff on Monday Night Football. We're going to hear from Russ. We're going to hear from Jimmy G. The defense as well deserves a little time considering the numbers. 10 sacks. 7 total takeaways, 2 touchdowns scored by the defense. And then there were none. No more undefeateds in the NFL. I told you it's hard to do. Didn't even take until week 10 for them all to have, or through week 10 for them all to have a loss. By the way, I found it. I found the John McClain tweet about Veterans Day. Can I read it really quick? So John McClain, again, the Houston Chronicle insider, shared this story about Veterans Day on Twitter. When Kenny Stabler played for the Oilers, he didn't show for practice one day. Everyone was frantic. He returned the next day. When I asked him where he'd been, he said, "Yesterday was Veterans Day. I'm a veteran, so I took the day off." That's so great. Good for you, Kenny Stabler. And yes, veterans should, in fact, have Veterans Day off. Oh, my goodness. Wild start to the night and wild finish to week 10 in the NFL.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Backfield for Garoppolo, who stands strong, gets hit, ball is out, ball is picked up, Clowney goes the other way, touchdown, Seahawks!
K'Ron Williams will jump on Russell Wilson,
ball down.
And the ball came out late, DeForest Buckner picked it up and ran it in, touchdown, San Francisco!
Jason Myers will try to give the Seahawks the lead, snap, spot, kick, and it's good! Seahawks lead 24-21.
Chase McLaughlin to tie the game and force overtime. They got it down. Chase has it away.
It's right down the middle. What's his name, Ryan?
Chase McMahon.
Tie game.
To win the game and to keep the 49ers perfect. Snap from Kyle Nelson. Wisnowski has it away. McLaughlin's kick. He hooked it. It is no good. It is wide left.
Russ has to get the ball out of his hands. No, he's got running room. 45, midfield, first down, slides down. He's across the 40-yard line. And that kick is good from 42. The Seahawks beat the undefeated, now once defeated, San Francisco 49ers.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steve Rabel is the play-by-play voice on the Seahawks radio network and Greg Papa on the Niners radio network. We're mixing in Kevin Harlan with the national call on Westwood One as well. They do a fantastic job of painting a picture of what was a wild ride from the Bay Area just a few hours ago. It wrapped up in overtime, and I thought it was even better than I anticipated. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to get to your calls, and a lot of you are tweeting, and I haven't even opened Facebook yet, but I will. 855-212-4227, A-Law Radio, or Facebook page is named after the show. We're also going to head to the Bay Area coming up in 15 minutes here and get the perspective of a Seattle Seahawks insider. But you remember that Pete Carroll was joking about how the Globetrotters were in town on Monday night, and that's what all the fuss was about? Yeah, the man still has jokes.
You want a nice, easy win. Just can feel it from the beginning of the game. And, you know, eat the guac and the chips and just kind of kick back. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. It took us all the way till there was nothing left.
It took all the way until there was nothing left. We had nothing left. We left it all out there on the field. And yet by the time Russell Wilson steps in front of the microphone, producer Chris, what did you tell me? He was in 70s garb. It was 70s night for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, the hair was in full perm. He had a suede army jacket on and a turtleneck. It was glorious.
We have two professional athletes named Russ who definitely have their own unique styles. So Russell Wilson, calm, cool, collected. Once he had a few moments to shower off, to get dressed in a 70s garb, and then just to remind people what this team is made of.
I think the great thing about this game for our football team was just the resilience. We've had it all year. We've been, I think, the toughest team in terms of a resilience all year, in my opinion. I think that just how we stay encouraged, how we stay focused, how we just keep having the faith and keep believing that something great's going to happen. I think our defense played great throughout the night in a tough environment, tough game. We made plays when we needed to, and we knew it was going to come down to the wire. I said it earlier in the week, I thought it was going to come down the wire. Didn't think it was going to come down to overtime, no more time on the clock kind of wire, but that's just a true amazing moment, wildest game. Most amazing game I've been a part of, for sure.
Russell Wilson following Monday Night Football. And I really do believe, and I say this a lot, that all the experiences that a team goes through over the course of a season either prepares them or does not prepare them to compete for a championship. No team starts out the season ready to win a title. I don't care how good you are when you start out. Every team has to go through adversity, has to become battle-tested, has to be pushed to the limit, pushed to the very end, as Pete Carroll said, have to have feet to the fire. And while I would never say that a loss is good for a team, losing, coming through a loss, figuring out how to do a better, all of that can deepen not just your desire, but your experience, your wisdom, and also can give you those moments that you fall back on. It can give you those opportunities to know what you did wrong and what you have to do differently to win. So it's all part of the learning process. And I appreciate that Richard Sherman said something similar following this loss.
Oh, I think we responded fine. We had a chance to win the game. We didn't get it done. At the end of the day, it's all you can hope for. Guys battled. We battled for 60-plus minutes, all the way down to the wire. All of our guys through a bunch of injuries, guys going up and down. So, you know, we'll watch the film. We'll learn from it. We'll, you know, correct the things that needs to be corrected, and we'll get ready for Arizona.
It's just about execution at the end of the day. I mean, it's nothing crazy. You just got to go do your job, execute, and move on play after play, and just do that throughout the entire game. And I think it's just we've been good at that. It's just, you know, we had a couple hiccups tonight. So just got to correct them and move on.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 24 of 46 for 248 yards and a score, but also had three turnovers. And they were costly, so he's talking about those mistakes. As much as it's easy to focus on the new kicker who misses from 47 yards in overtime, I mean, there were plenty of mistakes by Jimmy Garoppolo, by his receivers. I mean, as much as Kendrick Bourne had a big game in terms of the touchdown and kind of filling in that void where Greg Kittle would normally have a lot of big calls his way. Bourne also had a pass go right through his hands that got picked off. And so there were drops and there were turnovers and there were plenty of moments that the Niners will look back on and go, ah. And so for Garoppolo, we've seen the turnovers be a bit of an issue. The defense has covered him up. There's been a question about whether or not he can lead a team to a win when the offense needs to, when they're behind and have to come back. And he put them in position a couple of times. Now, there were long field goals. Just that final three and out, I think, is going to bother him, probably bother the offense, Shanahan as well, Kyle Shanahan, because they had three consecutive pass attempts and only took 25 seconds off the clock and then gave the ball back to Russell Wilson. Jadeveon Clowney with an incredible game. Five tackles, five QB hits, a sack, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and a touchdown.
I always tell the guys, look, just keep playing on defense. Russ going to make something happen on offense. And we played big tonight on defense. Up front, we've been getting hammered all season long about this front not playing well. We need to do a little something different. Tonight, we came and made a step in the right direction. And I hope we can keep growing from this up front, the whole defense, and just keep building. And we got a lot of season left, but we started heading in the right direction.
I heard an interview with Jadeveon Clowney on Westwood One literally in the seconds after this game was over, and he said, this is why the Seahawks brought me here. They brought me here for these big NFC West games. They brought me here for these big moments, and I wanted to pay them back. I wanted to let them know, validate their decision, that they made the right choice by trading to get me from the Houston Texans. All right, our guest has asked if he can wait until the top of the hour to join us from the Bay Area, so it'll be midnight California time, midnight Seattle time. So we'll get to your calls coming up here. 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Garoppolo is in the gun. From his own 23, shotgun snap is high. Four-man rush, he's hit. Brought down! Ball is loose! Picked up by Clowney at the 10. On drives to the 5. Runs into the end zone. Touchdown, Seattle! A defensive touchdown on a fumble. And the Seahawks are on the board.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The defenses were definitely starring in this Monday Night Football show for a good portion of it. Combining for 10 sacks, 5 on each quarterback, a lot of QB pressures and hits, 7 total takeaways. Now, normally when there are 7 turnovers, wouldn't you say, ooh, that's ugly? Except in this particular game, I felt like it was perfect for these two teams. Now, there were moments where I went, oi, when a ball would go through the hands of a receiver and then get intercepted, the fumbles, that kind of stuff. Definitely, those are mistakes that can be cleaned up, except it fit with the way these defenses were vicious and fierce and hard-hitting and physical and onto the field with a take-no-prisoners attitude. 10 sacks, 7 total takeaways, 2 touchdowns, including that one you hear with Jadeveon Clowney, which was early in the game. Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One radio network. And Clowney, as I said, after the game, did an interview. It was Scott Kaplan, I believe, on Westwood One, and he said, this is why the Seahawks brought me here. And it started my brain kind of spinning, thinking about the number of players, even just in Week 10, but I'll go back over the bulk of this season, the length of this season, the number of players that have been traded that have made a major impact with their new teams. And sometimes, in some cases, the players getting traded for a first-round pick, for multiple draft picks, and the move initially getting criticized, and yet it is paying dividends. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just clowning around. He has been so, so good for them. I know the narrative around Jadeveon Clowney was that he only had a couple sacks last year and he wasn't worth it. oh, no, I think he's worth it. He might be worth more. Same thing with Minkah Fitzpatrick. Same thing, I think, with Emmanuel Sanders before he got hurt. Could be an impact player like an Amari Cooper was with the Cowboys. And so I'm wondering, from your perspective, what's the trade that's had the greatest impact in the NFL this season? And, of course, I mean the moves that were made in the offseason or the ones that were made before the trade deadline. It's interesting because what was all the talk before the season kicked off? Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown. And yet, it's not been those guys who've had the greatest impact. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Johnny, who's in Virginia. Welcome to After Hours.
Morning, Amy. I was wanting to talk about the Seattle and San Francisco. I thought it had intensity of like a playoff, and I didn't have a dog in the fight. I'm over here in Virginia, Redskin Nation, hoping for Haskins, missing Trent. But I thought it all came down to like that. It was like in the fourth quarter, they showed the sidelines of Seattle, and Russell Wilson was in there all pumped up and talking to everybody. I felt like that gave them the hope. You know, I mean, yeah, he's the other guy missed the field goal and everything, but I thought that gave them the pull to went on to that game. Yeah. And I'm over here. It was 60s today, and it's supposed to be freaking freezing tomorrow, chance of rain with snow.
Well, you're not alone, sir. I mean, from Virginia to my mom's had freezing rain in Houston. What I heard was there are about 170 cities around the United States this week that could see record low temperatures because this Arctic blast is essentially supposed to encompass almost the entire United States, even down the Atlantic seaboard. We know there were 6 inches of snow in Chicago on Monday. We saw the snow in Wisconsin over the weekend. My Grammy's been talking about the snow. Mom says it's been really cold in Texas. I've got friends in Georgia who are cold. So I pretty much think that you've got company when it comes to the Arctic blast and the cold weather, for sure.
We only had 3 snows last winter, and they didn't even last like a half an hour before it melted. So all of a sudden, I think we're going to get a bad one this year.
I mean, I would try to empathize, but it would be fake because I love snow.
Oh, I know. Oh, everybody up north is laughing at you know, at me.
No. Yeah. I mean, there are people in my neighborhood who complain about snow. People I work with who complain. I just love it. I grew up in New Hampshire and I love snow. So I always wish for a really snowy winter, but people get mad at me when I do that. So I try not to say it out loud too much.
And man, you all snow trucks up there and plows are way better than the stuff we got down here.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
I mean that's I get it. I mean, but why have all that on retainer and pay for all of the extra equipment and the salt and the sand if you very rarely use it? But I know what you're talking about. I mean, Charlotte, the Charlotte airport, I've been there before when there's been a dusting on the ground and the entire airport shut down. It was comical.
Yeah, but you all can take snowmobiles and go to the store and buy food. We had to slip.
I don't have a snowmobile, and they don't let you drive a snowmobile on a highway for heaven's sake.
No, on the pass. They got like miles, like hundreds of miles of paths up there.
I don't know what you're talking about, man, but New York City does not have hundreds of miles of paths.
New Hampshire.
Well, right, but that's not where I am now. But yes.
Oh, you're in New York? Okay, well, yeah. you're all worse off than we are because you've got nowhere to pile the snow anywhere because all the sidewalks are filled with buildings. You ain't got no grass anywhere, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, people who've never been here, what they think about New York City. All right,
no,
Johnny.
There.
Okay, well, there's lots of grass, lots of trees. You ever heard of Central Park?
Well, yeah, but they're not going to take all the snow from all the streets and throw it in the middle of, you know, all that dirty snow in the middle of the park, you know.
No.
Because down here, when it gets really bad, they take it to these parking lots near the river, and they put it on barges,
okay.
You know, to try to get rid of it, you know, when it's really bad. But I mean, last year, we didn't have nothing.
Okay. Good stuff. All right, sir, enjoy your winter weather. Thanks so much for your phone call. George is listening in Los Angeles. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
You know what? I didn't understand the end of that game, Amy, when the 49ers went 3 and out, 3 straight passes. Why didn't they even consider a screen pass when at least they get a completion? Even if they don't make a first down, the clock runs. Seattle has no timeouts. They probably end up in a tie. It's better than a loss.
No, it's not. Sorry, I hate ties in sports. I absolutely can't stand them. I understand what you're saying. That was a puzzling three and out, to be sure, with only 25 seconds that came off the clock. So if nothing else, at least try to run the football. And I know they didn't have a ton of success, but considering what happened, you don't get the 10 yards, you don't get the first down. If you're going to do that, well, then you might as well run the ball and at least take time off the clock and not leave as much time for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks to get back down the field. Yeah, that was definitely a fail in the worst possible moment.
Right, and then in the game, you know about the only chances for Russell to take off and run the ball like he did. Why didn't he have a spy on him at the end of the game? I mean, you know, just common sense.
I mean, the Seahawks had 173 yards rushing. They weren't devoid of other activity besides Russell Wilson. Yeah, I mean, it's also one of those situations where you get into overtime and the defenses are tired for sure, and it's hard to keep up with everything. I still thought the defenses played incredibly well in this game on both sides.
Well, you know, the way I see it, Jimmy G, he's okay, but he's not Russell Wilson. And I think the Seahawks are probably going to win that division now, and the 49ers are going to lose a few more games.
They might. They might not. I mean, the Seahawks still have to play the Niners again. They would host them in Seattle, of course. And so there's a long way to go yet in this division and in the NFL. But the way the Seahawks have performed in close games certainly has been really impressive.
Right. They're battle-tested. San Francisco, this was probably their first close game of the season, so they weren't battle-tested, and they didn't do too well.
I mean, I thought they did well. Obviously, they lost in overtime, but I don't think that they – in terms of the offenses, both offenses had hiccups. Both offenses had turnovers. The defense still played really well, in my opinion. I didn't think it was a terrible game for the Niners. It just hurts, though, that it's one on their own field, number one. Number two, that they had opportunities to win and couldn't close it out. But they have had some tight games against the Cardinals just in their last game. They only won by three. They also had a game against the Steelers that was a four-point spread earlier in the year. And I don't remember exactly which game it was that Garoppolo had five or that the Niners had five turnovers. But I mean, they've had some close games. The game against the Redskins was 9-0, though that one was in terrible weather. So you kind of had the idea that anything could happen if they didn't take care of business. So, this was definitely along with the Panthers a couple of weeks ago, this was definitely their toughest game on the schedule so far.
Well, I just think the Seahawks are probably the better team in the division. And of course my Rams, they're done.
I mean, done. There's a long way to go. I don't think I would bury them yet. The problem is they've had so many injuries on their offensive line. They've now lost their center for the year. He damaged his MCL and his knee against the Steelers. It's been a brutal stretch for the offense, to be sure. George, thanks so much for your phone call. I have to let you go because we're here at the top of the hour, but I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. If you, too, would like to complain about the weather, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What's the trade that's been most impactful in the NFL this season? And coming up, we'll welcome our Seattle Seahawks insider from the Bay Area after an epic Monday night game. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.